time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
The inconsistent disruptor. Defensive tackle Jordan Elliott comes in number 25 on a roster countdown series for 2025. Now, he was 27 last year, jumped up two spots, and not really because of quote-unquote his play, which very inconsistent. He's the inconsistent disruptor. His highlight reel is pretty damn good. Like, he is a slasher penetrating at highly athletic defensive tackle that one out of five plays just wrecks a play. And not the stats aren't really going to be there for him. No sacks last year, two quarterback hits. But he has this uncanny ability to sometimes just, man, embarrass opposing offensive linemen. But it's not consistent. You get a double team on him, dude gets blown back and turned sideways. You'll see him literally turn around with his back to the ball carrier and get blocked 7 yards downfield by a double team. Then the very next play splits him perfectly and is 3 yards in the backfield, forcing a tackle for loss, Nick Bosa. He's good, just not consistent, which is frustrating whenever you're talking about a player going into their sixth NFL season. And, you know, the 49ers chose Jordan Elliott over Malik Collins. Malik Collins was a much more consistent player, but they chose him because he's younger, he's cheaper, and the 49ers just, man, Chris Kucerik loves this guy. Kyle Shanahan referenced him as one of the best run defenders on the team. I think that statement is absolutely ludicrous, but I do like it whenever coaches go to the bat for their players. So, Jordan Elliott wears jersey number 92 for the 49ers, 6'4", 303, 32-inch arms. He's 27 years old, so in his prime, you're hoping his best football's ahead of him. You're hoping it comes this year because you could really use him because that defensive tackle room is young. Young. You don't get one. You actually get two rookies in C.J. West and Alfred Collins. Plus, you bring in Sebastian Valdez, who's another undrafted free agent rookie. Evan Anderson's young. Kalia Davis, young. Kevin Givens and Jordan Elliott are the veteran presence in that defensive tackle room, which it's got a lot of weight on it because, not literally, but the defensive tackle position has to improve. Has to. You spent a second or fourth round pick on it, and you brought back Jordan Elliott, who I do believe will be a projected starter week one. I think he'll line up next to Alfred Collins. 5.02 40-yard dash, great. 171, 10-yard, okay. 27.5-inch vertical, okay. 24 bench press reps. This dude likes the weight room. Comps, if you put in all of Jordan Elliott's measurables, Devin Still Sr., Sharif Floor, Sharif Floyd, Marcel Darius, like, dude's got the athleticism. Texas dude, played at West Side High School in Houston, Texas. Committed and went to the University of Texas, just didn't work out in 2016. Transferred to Missouri and became an all-SEC first-team player in 2019. And again, talk about the weight room. He won the 2017 Team Lifter of the Year Award and gets drafted in the third round by the Browns in 2020. This is the same year defensive tackle class as Javon Kinlaw. He went in the third round, pick 88. Kinlaw went first round. They've had about the same style of career. Now, I would argue Kinlaw is a much more consistent player, and he's getting paid about five times as much as Jordan Elliott now. It's just Kinlaw can't stay healthy. One of the best things about Jordan Elliott, dude's missed four games in his five-year career. Missed two last year with the 49ers, but he has stayed very, very healthy. So best abilities, availability, Jordan Elliott does have that. He's got that in spades. Now, our pre-draft write-up going back to the 2020 NFL draft on Jordan Elliott. This is before he got drafted and played a snap in the NFL. Insane athleticism and body. Looks like a tight end playing interior defensive line. No bad weight on him. Might have the highest ceiling of anyone in this defensive tackle class. Lateral quickness is insane. Check. We got that one right. Not the best at the point of attack, but not a liability there. I was wrong. He is a liability there. But that's okay. Pass rushing stud. Could be an 8-sack-per-year guy. Way off on that one. He has 5 career sacks. Ideal build and style for today's NFL. And so kind of that, you know, undersized, hyper-athletic, weight room warrior guy, Aaron Donald style. No production, but like the NFL started to covet guys like Jordan Elliott after what Aaron Donald did. And Jordan Elliott, somebody's going to confuse him there. But man, you look at the workout and the body that he puts forward, that's huge. Now, Chris Kucerik talked and admitted that they had their eyes on Jordan Elliott all the way back to that 2020 draft. And they drafted Kinlaw. It's what it is. And, you know, he has tied Jordan Elliott for the third most sacks in that defensive tackle class of that entire draft. Not a good defensive tackle draft, by the way. Matt Ebuke has 21.5 sacks. Derek Brown, 8. Kinlaw and Elliott tied with 5. Not great. Just not great. So, now, Chris Kucerik said he reminds him of DJ Jones. I thought that was one of the dumbest things he's ever said. I do not understand that. But Chris Kucerik falls in love with guys very similar to Chris Forster. All coaches do this, that they just love that perhaps the fans don't. And the tape is not kind to Jordan Elliott. I'm going to be very honest with you. He's brought in to stop the run and to be one of those penetrators. He had a 53.1 run grade. That's below average. That is not starter level play at all. And just not consistent. 1 out of 5 plays is great. The other 4, he is a negative on the 49ers run stopping. And pass rush, sometimes it's there. His highlights are great, though. So, like, from the highlight perspective, I could put together 15 plays and be like, man, Jordan Elliott's a Pro Bowler. I could put together 50 plays that it's like, dude, this guy is unrosterable in the NFL. Where is he going to fall in that depth chart? I think eventually you want Collins and West to be your starters, maybe even Evan Anderson. But the veteran presence is huge, and he has that. And that's why I do think Jordan Elliott will be starting week 1. I don't think he should be, but you're hoping at age 27, hopefully something increases. You look at his career, 117 tackles, 10 tackle for losses. This is career numbers, 5 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, 4 pass breakups. Now, he's played a lot of football, 81 games, 48 starts. That's awesome. Hasn't missed games, right? Talked about only 4 games missed in his entire career. That's awesome. 49ers signed him to a 2-year, $7 million deal. Got a $3.4 million cap hit. He will not be cut. Career earnings just under $9 million. And for the 49ers, let's just highlight 2024. Played 15 games, 13 starts. He will start again for the 49ers. 502 snaps. That's solid. I'd like that number to fall down to about 350. 63 special team snaps, and that's what he was best at. Blocked not one, but 2 kicks last year. One of them was a field goal block versus Cleveland, probably one of the best highlights of the entire year for the 49ers. He blocks the kick. Diamador Lenore picks it up, scoops it, takes it 61 yards to the house for a touchdown. Also had an extra point block versus the Lions in a meaningless game, but still, Jordan Elliott got close a lot. Vertical and arms and like he times it up well. Defensively, he's a B-gap player that, you know, 3 technique. He had 44 snaps in the A gap on top of the center, 348 snaps in the B gap, and then about 50 on the edge, you know, kind of that 4-eye stacked on top of the tackle where they do stunts and whatever else, goal line, whatever. 19 tackles last year, 2 tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits, no sacks. 11 solo stops, 3 missed tackles. He had a 12.5% missed tackle rate. That's bad for tackles. 7 pressures is awful. 213 pass rush snaps, 7 pressures, no sacks. Not very effective. Does not show up in the stat column really at all, but he disrupts. He does cause his players on his 1 out of 5 really good play. It's huge. It's just, can he get more consistent? Look at his grades. 47.6 overall defensive grade, awful. 53.1 run defense grade, subpar. 40.4 tackling grade, awful. 54.6 pass rush grade, subpar. What is he good at? What is it that he hangs his hat on? Supposed to be a great run defender, offer a little bit of pass rush upside, just hasn't translated. So I'm not the biggest Jordan Elliott guy, but if he could get some consistency and eliminate some of the negative plays while still maintaining a little bit of a disruptor status, that would be huge. Just consistency. A truest measure of greatness. Can Jordan Elliott establish that? It's a contract year. It's the last year signed by the 49ers. So if he wants to get paid, he's going to have to step up his play. Otherwise, he's just going to be a rotational piece for the rest of his career. We'll see what happens. Jordan Elliott, the 49ers could really use a veteran like him to step up, lock down that starting job next to Alfred Collins, CJ West, whomever, and just be consistent, because you don't have a lot of those 3, you know, B-gap, 300-pound slashers anymore. You got a lot of big, heavy-bodied run pluggers. There's a place for Jordan Elliott here Can he be more consistent? Comes in number 25 on a roster countdown. Shout out to Josh, executive producer of this episode. If for us in the 49ers Rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting. But you can already make season-long, more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week one kicks off. And there's already so many fun ones up there. Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1,475 rush yards. Josh Allen, more or less than 27.5 passing touchdowns. You want to pick your favorite 49ers, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, all those things, they are up there now. My favorite thing about using Prize Picks is just how quick and simple it is. Pick 2 to 6 players, their stat projections more or less, and if you get the picks right, you can cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. Prize Picks is also the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your very first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Talk about consistency. Last year in the 2024 roster countdown, Eater Gross Models came in number 24, and this year on the 2025 roster countdown, he also comes in number 24. This is the ideal, you know, Alden Key, Chase Young trade, Charles Omenihu, this versatile defensive end edge player with experience, hoping to come here to rebrand their career, go get paid elsewhere. Now, the good news was the 49ers signed Eater Gross Models to a 2-year deal instead of a 1-year deal. Last year was not good. Last year was bad. He had one elite game against Buffalo in the snow, which I was at. 3 sacks, 3 tackle for losses. Was absolutely dominant. It was one game and one game only. Only had a 4-sack performance for the year last year. Missed, you know, 6 games with a knee issue. Missed almost all of training camp last year with a knee issue. Re-injures it. Missed several games. And now he's on PUP still, as of the recording of this episode, with that same knee issue. It's hard for a 27-year-old that has missed 19 games in his career, a lot of them lower body injuries. Can he stay healthy? Can he practice? And can he outperform what he did last year? You look at, you know, what Eater Gross Models did just from an analytical standpoint. Lowest overall season from PFF score, lowest pass rush productivity, lowest run stuff productivity, lowest, by far his worst year as a pro. Now, how much of that is Nick Sorensen, the knee injury? Who knows? You're hoping to get more in return. And the 49ers go and sign a draft, you know, in the very first round, Mykael Williams. Kind of keeps Eater Gross Models on the back end, you know, not a starter. He didn't really even start games last year. And Sam O came and kind of took his spot in the rotation as that number 3 edge behind Leonard Floyd. Can he return to what the 49ers want? This versatile piece that can move inside and rush, a bigger defensive end that can do anything. And he's huge. Where's jersey number 94 for the 49ers? 6'5", 266, 34 and 7/8 inch arms, almost 35 inch arms. That's top 92 percentile of defensive ends. 27 years old, 34 inch vertical, explosive, 10'6 broad jump. That's top 86 percentile, 20 bench press reps. You put in his measurables and mock draftable. Listen to these names: AJ Epinesa, Alden Smith, Greg Hardy, Chandler Jones. This dude is a behemoth. Can't stay healthy. Really hasn't got the production, you know, entering into his sixth season. So five seasons in, and it's just kind of a shoulder shrug. Like, he's a rotational kind of number three, number four defensive end that seems to have a lot of elite traits, just hasn't panned out. From Fredericksburg, Virginia, went attended Chancellor High School, four-time letterman, basketball stud, track stud, football stud. I mean, USA Today, All-State as a senior, named Chancellor's Defensive MVP Award back in 2016, was one of the top recruits coming out of Virginia, goes to Penn State, majors in criminology, and just was awesome at Penn State. Tied for 10th all-time with 19 career sacks, 11th all-time in Penn State with 37 tackle for losses. Just did so much. Won the team's Reed Robinson Award, recognizing outstanding defensive linemen at the team's award banquet. Like, this dude just stacked consistency all across, you know, every single defensive lineman award. He was named on a watch list, all those things, and has already overcome a lot. Like, you do have to give this man credit because he did not have an easy childhood. When he was 2 years old, his biological father died after a boating accident, where his dad went in to rescue Eater, who was drowning, 2 years old. Dad didn't make it. Then when he was 10 years old, his brother Robbie died from a lightning strike while they were playing baseball. And just absolutely horrifying. And so you're talking about somebody that has already been through so much in his life. And what does he want to do? He wants to give back. His career ambitions outside of football, shout out to you, Ter. He wants to serve underprivileged youth in some capacity, whatever that is, once football's over. Like, man, just a hero. And it's horrible whenever you go through those things, but whenever you understand what makes Eater, last year wasn't easy. And missing time and not performing well and getting passed on the depth chart and all those things, he's overcome a lot in the past. He was selected 38th overall, really high in the second round, by the Carolina Panthers in the 2020 NFL draft. He was the second defensive end taken behind Chase Young. That was a Chase Young year. We've had both of them on this roster. My pre-draft kind of real quick film write-up: slippery versus O-lineman. He likes to get into their body, uses hands, never stays blocked, has great gap integrity, A-plus hand fighting, super clean and well-rounded. The consistency just has not come. His 4 years with Carolina, played 55 games, 13 sacks, 19 tackle for losses. Last year with the Niners, only played 11 games, 4 sacks, almost all of them came in that one game, 6 tackle for losses, half of them came in that one game against Buffalo. So, like, just the consistency has not been there. Missed 19 games in 5 seasons, not good. Missed most games last year with 6, with not one but 2 issues with his knee. Has had ankle injuries, hamstring injuries. Can he stay healthy? And guess what? As of recording this, still knee issue is on the PUP list. So much so, the 49ers had to go outside another defensive end, add to the roster. Like, he's missing more time. That's not what you want. The 49ers signed him March 14, 2024. He signed a 2-year, $18 million contract with over $12 million guaranteed. If he was to be cut now, be about a $5 million cap hit. Don't think he's going to be cut, but you never know with knee injuries. Career money earned, $18 million so far paid out to him. 32 starts, 66 games. No starts for the 49ers last year. Did appear in 11 of those 17 games. 367 snaps. That's on the low end. Like, he should be getting 400-plus snaps. 53 of those snaps were special teams, almost all on field goal, extra point block, not really contributing to anything else. Stats were bad last year. 19 tackles, 4 sacks, 6 tackle for losses, 7 quarterback hits, 21 pressures, 5 missed tackles. He had a 23.8 missed tackle percentage. That's crazy with somebody with 35-inch arms at 6'5 and that big. You got to do better than that. 9 solo stops, graded at a 51.5 overall, 46.6 run defense, 59.4 pass rush. Not good. Only had 3 games over a 60 grade overall. That's average play. You start at 60. which means he had negative output most of the time he's out there. And again, almost all those analytics, lowest of his career, like not good. Now he is versatile. That's kind of the thing. He had 55 snaps lined up as a four tech or a three tech rushing from the inside. And I think if everybody was healthy, I know Mikael Williams, they want to take that role eventually, but I think they want Yetur Gross-Matos to do that as well. We'll have to see what that looks like. Now, we talked about the Buffalo game where he had three sacks, three tackle for losses. The negative was that Seattle game week 11. Absolutely quit and just literally stood up and stood there almost and watched Geno Smith run past him for a the touchdown that kind of ended the season, to be honest with you. Now, some of that wasn't his fault. He was begging to get out three plays in a row, and Chris Kucerich kept him out there because it was a hurry-up, two-minute situation. He just ran out of gas. And so whether it's health and, you know, being out there and just, you know, endurance and all those things, is it fair on him? I don't know what the answer is, but I can tell you, man, you go back and you watch that play, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, they both just basically were completely done. No rotations. Nobody got in there, and man, the end result was Geno Smith. Anyway. I hope Yetur can get healthy. I hope he can win his spot as that defensive end number three. Can he overtake Sam O? Can he get back in the good graces and be disruptive and do more than just have one good game in the season? I mean, he's a lock to make the team unless this knee injury just doesn't get better. But, man, like he is a defensive end number three, and he's being paid like that. He just haven't got that production. So can he step up? The 49ers could really use it because there's not a lot of depth in that defensive end room. Now, yeah, you've got the, you know, the trade of Bryce Huff helps because you have this designated pass rusher. But as far as like an every down defensive end that can kick inside, Yetur should be number three. And he comes in number 24 back-to-back years on this roster countdown. Shout out to Ben for, you know, executive producing and helping write today's show. Hopefully we'll just keep counting them down. The 24 are done. We got 23 more of these bad boys to go. Ah, man, we just working over here. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. What if the 49ers could pick one rookie to just absolutely succeed? Would it raise kind of the entirety of the defense or offensive unit? And I get the case for somebody that would say, well, Mikael Williams, first round pick, the defensive tackle room, Alfred Collins, you know, it was awful, one of the worst in the NFL last year. So yeah, let's go with those two guys. But part of me says, man, if I could pick one rookie to just come out of the gate and just light it all on fire, I think I would pick Upton Stout, because that cornerback room is just devoid of depth. You've got two studs, Renardo Green, once he's fully healthy, Diamador Lenore for sure. Outside of that, it is just a lot of question marks, and I truly do believe the outside corner position is the shallowest on this entire roster, and that's with the addition of Eli Apple, you know, who does bring a veteran presence and a lot of experience, but let's just be honest, there's an issue there. And if Upton Stout can just lock down that nickel role, that allows Demo to stay outside, which Kyle Shanahan wants. That allows Renardo Green to stay outside, which I think everybody wants. And then you have your solid core three, and you can develop some depth with Trey Brown, Dallas Flowers, you know, Darrell Luter, whomever. But you look at the defensive tackle room, like even if Alfred Collins doesn't hit, you have C.J. West, who is, man, awesome. And even if Mikael Williams doesn't hit, you still have Yetur Gross-Matos. You still have Bryce Huff. Like, there are guys that can come in and play that number two and three spot in those units. Nickel, I don't know. I really, really don't. And, you know, the Upton Stout pick was a good pick. I'm not even sure that's what the 49ers wanted to do. You know, I'm pretty sure they wanted to go offensive line there, but six offensive linemen went 12 picks before him, including back-to-back Raider picks. We'll detail that. But Upton Stout comes in number 23 on our roster countdown. And, man, I freaking love him. Watching his tape, besides that god-awful red field at Western Kentucky, watching his tape is just fun as hell. You know, Mighty Mouse mentality, just pesky, feisty, whatever adjective you want to use. Dude just gets under the skin of opposing wide receivers consistently and just makes life hard for everybody. So he wears jersey number 20, and you're already seeing him making plays all over training camp, which is so exciting seeing a quality cornerback wear number 20. Reminds me of some older players, but I freaking love it. You know, going from Ambry Thomas, somebody that is just so scared of contact at all times, to Upton Stout, who is way smaller, but loves and seems to feast on the physicality of the game, despite he's 5'8", 181. That is the lowest 1 percentile of height for NFL cornerbacks. That is the lowest 6 percentile for weight. Don't tell him that. He'll get out there and mix it up with anybody. Arm length, 30 inches, not even 30 and a half, like lowest 8%. Like, there are threshold teams that did not have this guy on their board. I guarantee you the Indianapolis Colts had this guy as a non-draftable. Well, the 49ers took him at the end of the third round. 23 years old, ran a 4.4440. That's good. 1.51 10-yard split is elite. Acceleration, just, man, and you see it on tape. Cat-like, pouncy, whatever, like, dude just explodes out of his stance. 37.5-inch vertical, 10.8 broad jump. That's top 85th percentile. 21 bench press reps. Dude, tiny. Don't tell him that. Yeah, he loves the weight room. 89th percentile of cornerbacks in the NFL. 21 bench press reps. Like, that's a good offensive line number. So, yeah, small, short arms, and, yeah, 5'8", 180. Don't care. Dude loves the weight room. Athletic comp. Think of a Mike Hughes. Playstyle comp, much more of an Amik Roberts out of La Tech. He's a fun player. Texas dude, you know, went to North Shore High School down in Houston, Texas. The Mustangs, one of the most prestigious programs in the country, let alone Texas. Then he goes to North Texas. Then he transfers to Western Kentucky. Texas kid, born in Houston. And while he was at North Shore in 2018, 2019, back-to-back 6A1 state championships. If you don't know anything about Texas football, like, that is, you're in some amazing territory. 6A1 is the largest school demarcation in the state of Texas. And, you know, they lost in the finals to Duncanville, my boys, recently. But they're in the mix every single year. And Upton Stout was the team captain on that team. Goes to, you know, stays local. Was a three-star recruit, had, you know, about 10 offers or so, and decided to stay in in Texas, goes to UNT, and then transferred to Western Kentucky. Goes there, becomes a team captain, real estate major, love to hear that, and already owns his own clothing line called Lazy Ways. Go check it out. Pretty impressive. I love people that have something outside of football. Just, you know, as the coach in me and parent in me, I'm just like, man, have some other options. But he's got nasty in his game, and that's why I think a lot of fans are going to really, really like Upton Stout. Whenever you see the small guy willing to mix it up with linemen and tight ends and bigger players and then still bring kind of that Diamador Lenore dog mentality or whatever you want to call it, he's got it. He's going to be playing nickel and kind of nickel exclusively. I think he could do more than that, but you got to start him at nickel. With that body, it's difficult to put him on the outside. Nickel is where he's going to start. He could fail to safety if you needed him to, and he's played outside corner. He's played safety. He could do that, but nickel's going to be a spot. Two-time first-team FCS All-American. I mean, the guy has just played at a high level, and if you're like, man, UNT, Western Kentucky, go watch him play against Alabama at Western Kentucky. Dude belonged on the field. No doubt about it. Like, he was one of the better players and one of the best graded cornerbacks, according to Pro Football Focus, come out of the draft last year. Experience, he's got it. 2,300-plus career snaps. Playing started at nickel, outside corner, free safety. And the 49ers drafted him in the third round, the 100th pick. Another one of those compensation picks, right? But, you know, John Lynch alluded to, you know, why didn't you pick any offensive linemen? 49ers haven't drafted a tackle or a center in three consecutive drafts. The only team in the NFL not to do that. Six offensive linemen flew off the board. The Raiders had back-to-back picks before the 49ers, and they took Caleb Rogers, who the 49ers met with several times, and Charles Grant, who the 49ers met with several times. I truly do believe one of those picks was going to be an offensive tackle. The board just didn't fall their way. Not saying that they didn't like Upton Stout, but I am saying it's sometimes the board goes the way you need it to go. Obviously, the 49ers need major offensive line help, but with where they are, Upton Stout falls in a very key spot. Here's our film write-up. The pre-draft work we did for our 49ers Rush draft guide before he was drafted. Fluidity, sticky but small, elite acceleration. Most of his experience is at outside corner, but will be a slot guy at the next level. Short, light, tiny arms are not a good thing, but the tape is outstanding. Threshold teams will not have him on their board. Feet are so fluid. Just makes life hard for wide receivers. And get tossed aside on occasions. Undersized but feisty. Mighty Mouse mentality. Always trying to get under wide receiver skin. I love that. Like, he is he's like a gnat that just bothers the hell out of you. Listen to these PFF scores. Overall grade, 84.5. Elite. Coverage grade, 79. Good. Tackling grade, 79.5. For a 5'8", 180 guy, off the charts. Missed tackle rate, 7.9. There's defensive tackles with the worst missed tackle rate that the Niners drafted. Like, that is elite for a cornerback, especially that size. QBR allowed, 90.7. You want that to be lower. Run defense grade, 90.7 as well. Elite. Here are the traits in which we rate him. Experience, 7. Versatility, 7. Speed, 7. Acceleration, 10. That is his elite thing that he can always hold his hat on, explosion. I mean, just acceleration, acceleration, acceleration. Now, his college stats, Upton Stout, 166 tackles, 12 tackle for loss. That's impressive. 1.5 sacks, 6 interceptions, ball skills check. 3 defensive touchdowns, 2 off an interception, 1 off a fumble return, 15 pass breakups, 1 fumble recovery, 1 forced fumble. He's missed 5 games in 2023 with an undisclosed injury. Still can't figure out what the hell that was, but relatively durable, which is something you want to check on with a 5'8", 180 guy. Gets drafted, 49ers signed to a 4-year, $6.1 million deal, got $1.1 million signing bonus. And Diamador Lenore said, quote, Upton Stout called me and came over this offseason. We studied the San Francisco's defense together. After that, the game just slowed down for him, end quote. Love that. Like, obviously, you're talking to your teammates, but hey, I want to come to you. I want to learn the defense. I want you to teach me. What else do you want in a rookie, right? So, back to the idea of where Upton Stout fits on this 49ers defense. He's already getting first-team nickel reps, but again, that's with Renardo Green banged up. With the hamstring issue. So, like, is that what the 49ers want to do? Week one? Like, and that's another thing. Week one, you're playing the Seattle Seahawks on the road. Divisional game. They have one of the best nickel or slot corners in the entire NFL in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Do you throw Upton Stout out there week one divisional game and say, go get him? Or do you roll with the vet? Do you allow Diamador Lenore to slide inside and go with the Trey Brown, Darrell Luter Jr., something like that on the outside? I don't know how you really balance this, but I can tell you right now, Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan, they want Upton Stout to win this job and run with it, and they're just like, look, our three corners are Demo, Renardo Green, Upton Stout, done. Simple. We're rolling with these three young, feisty, high upside players, and we're just going to roll through the chunks. And that might be the best situation. In the past, the 49ers have always gone with that veteran presence. Especially early, week one, whatever else. But that wasn't when Robert Saleh was here. So how is this going to shake out? I really hope that he just takes the job and runs with it. He's a fun freaking player, and there is a huge value placed by the 49ers organization on Upton Stout working out. Because if he doesn't, Trey Brown, Jacob Robinson, Trey Avery, Chase Lucas, maybe you move Marcus Siegel down. There's options. I'm not sure those are great options. Upton Stout, stud, fun,
Be a fan favorite if he gets that starting experience. I'm telling you. Josh, thank you for writing this episode. For us and the 49ers Rush team, we'll just keep counting them down.